Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the Pixar theory, and I mean Ashley, Annabelle, and I, Bella. So I hope you just enjoy and learn the Pixar theory because it's pretty cool. Okay.
Okay, so the Pixar theory. Before we get into the Pixar theory, I'm going to tell you what all it is. So it's pretty much an idea that all the Pixar movies are related in one big timeline, starting with The Good Dinosaur and ending with Monsters, Inc. or Brave, depending on how you look at it. Okay, so.
It's a lot of page flipping.
So, The Good Dinosaur. The Good Dinosaur starts us off with our Pixar universe. It starts off 65 million years ago, when the asteroid misses Earth. A few million years later, these dinosaurs have invented agriculture and ranching. But a common fear in Pixar, fate catches up to them. While dinosaurs are struggling, even the smallest human is thriving, even in the storms. This movie not only shows us how the humans started off, but how animals are very intelligent and can survive on their own. We will later see more of this animal intelligence. And then the dinosaurs ended up like going away because the weather was really bad, so. Brave. Centuries later, we find ourselves in medieval Scotland, somewhere around the 10th century. Merida is being forced to find a husband and get married, so she tries to find a way to change her fate. She follows the will-o'-wisp into the woods where she finds the witch, who we will talk about much more later. In the witch's workshop, we are introduced to a few things, one being magic. The witch's crow can talk to humans, her door works pretty weird, and her inanimate objects, such as her knives and brooms, which seem to have minds of their own. Keep these things in mind. They will be important later. But the important thing right now is that we see the witch change Merida's fate. Though the main focus in this movie is Merida, we actually learned about some important characters or concepts. The witch, fate, animals, magic, and the fact that inanimate objects can think for themselves. Which brings us to Incredibles, where we see the Omnidroid, which has a mind of its own. In this movie, we are introduced to the machines and the power struggle between the machines and humans. We are introduced to superheroes, humans who aren't so human. Humans. But in the midst of them fighting evil, the government shuts them down. Right before this, Mr. Incredible puts Buddy Pine, aka Syndrome, on his path to failure. Syndrome spends his life creating technology to kill supers so that he can be one. But this technology gets too smart and turns on Syndrome. Though the Incredibles defeat the Omnidroid, we know this technology exists and this is very powerful. Which brings us to Incredibles 2. In Incredibles 2, we see the machines progress and how the human emotions change. We start off right where we ended, literally. Later in the Pixar theory, we will see a company, B&L, or By and Large, who will take over the humans. But they never really hurt the humans. They more pamper the humans to extinction. In Incredibles 2, we see the AI start down this path of pampering. They discover this idea because of Evelyn Dever, aka the screen slaver. Because of her tragic backstory, Evelyn thinks humans are too reliant on supers and want to help them, not in her own psychotic way. She invents things that make everything easier for everyone and then uses it against them. But before she can finish her plan, she gets caught by the supers, weaving her technology that will take over the humans. Okay, your turn. Toy Story. Here we learn How humans helped the Pixar theory. From now on, we will see one main purpose for humans, and this is as batteries. We discovered this when we see the toys come to life and fear dying or being forgotten. Well, if they aren't actually living, why do they fear dying, and what makes them die? Humans are what gives the toys life, and when you forget about a toy or no longer care about it, it dies, similar to Bing Bong in Inside Out. We will get more of this reason when we talk about Coco later. So keep in mind, humans are batteries. Where the humans are, there is life, and where the humans aren't, there is death. At least inanimate objects, and not so much animals.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about Finding Nemo. Here we see fish and animals thriving underwater. Yes, they still have their natural predators, but how else are they supposed to eat? But even on that, we see them changing. Fish are friends, not food. We can observe that they have homes, schools, playgrounds, and even roads with traffic directors. We also see a fish circumnavigate the ocean to find his son. Okay, that's pretty insane. Okay, yeah. And you know, there's a group of fish that fend themselves off from a human. You know, that's pretty crazy. Okay, so now Ratatouille. Okay, this brings us to Ratatouille here, where we see not all animals are having conflict with humans. Remy becomes one of the greatest chefs in the world, and he's a rat. Okay, it's kind of weird. Even though the rest of the rats don't really share this talent, we do see animals evolving. Here we see animals serving humans. Well, you know, that sounds kind of familiar. Okay, and this brings us to Up, okay, where we see Charles Muntz and his dogs, you know, humans being served by animals again. Animals are progressing in conflict between animals and humans. Not only do we see Muntz and his servants, aka dogs, but we also see Kevin, who is smart enough to not get captured by Muntz for 70 years. We are also introduced to a company called B&L, or By and Large, the company that buys Carl's house, and it is also the company who makes batteries for toys, the company that Bill, all in all, or the people who make gas for cars. B&L is also the company who take over the planet in Wall. Okay, Finding Dory. We're going to circle back around to the animals before we get deep into B&L and the machine. In Finding Dory, we see the animals begin to struggle. We see this throughout Finding Dory, but the most obvious point is when Dory, Marlin, and Nemo arrive in California and stumble upon a junkyard filled with crabs. You know, kind of crazy. Trash in California. This is where we see the major struggle with animals. Yes, there's been conflict since the beginning, but here we see the most struggle. Not only do they have to fend themselves from humans, but now their own environment too, which is crumbling because of humans. Next in the timeline is Ratatouille, where we see the rats surrounded by trash and humans thriving, but we already talked about that, so we're gonna wrap up the Toy Story series instead. There isn't much to talk about, it's just 11 years after Toy Story 1 and 2, making it next in the timeline. Toy Story 3, we just see more of how inanimate objects need humans to survive, unlike animals. Which gives us another question. How exactly does this human energy work? Which is better explained to our next stop, Inside Out.
We got it. Okay. So now we're on Inside Out. Here we see the source of human energy and emotion. Emotion is kind of like the big thing, and it's kind of all around the whole theory. We can see in The Incredibles, people are made fearful, and in The Incredibles 2, people will become more happy and joyful. This emotion change will become more important in Monsters, Inc. So now we're on Coco. Another example of how this energy works is Coco. Coco shows us that it is more memory and not emotion, which makes sense because Bing Bong dies Inside Out, and he is the memory, not emotion. Bing Bong's death was also very similar to how people are forgotten in Coco or how Spider-Man turns into dust. Not related, but it's kind of important, you know? Okay, so...
Mr. Stark, I don't feel
so... Okay, so in Coco, we show how memories are what control things, not emotions, which we also see in the like every Pixar movie before and after. Okay, so now we're in Wall-E and Cars. Memories are a funny thing. Notice how Wall-E, there's no other robots on the planet, just Wall-E, who is, he's obsessed with humans. He collects their things, watches movies, and even finds a plant and takes care of it. Wall-E and Cars are a little confusing to bear, so bear with us, okay? So B&L has taken over the planet, finally taking all humans to space on their spaceship thing where they are trying to pamper humans out of existence, leaving the world, even leaving Earth as just a big mess. Okay. Humans gone, machines are left to rule Earth, bringing us to Cars. In Cars, we see Cars living off an old memory of humans. But just that it isn't enough, which leads us to an energy crisis in Cars 2. The company, All in All, which stands a lot like which sounds a lot like by and large to me, but tries to fix this, but it doesn't really work out, leading to the cars going extinct. Which brings us back to Wall-E. Wall-E is the only robot left. One being because he's solar powered, and two, he's like obsessed with humans and human memory giving him life. He finds plant life in him and even brings him to Starliner. But the machines didn't want humans to come back because it would ruin the planet. But Wall-E and Eve and the captain, along with the rest of the humans, to find the machine and go back to Earth. Earth is now remembered and thriving again. After nearly a century, humans have brought life back to Earth. Humans are now beginning to repopulate Earth, which brings us to the Bug's Life. A Bug's Life. Bugs, birds are the beginning to repopulate Earth, which makes sense. Why we don't see a lot of humans in bug life, since humans are just being too responsible. These creatures are super smart to make sense, since they are survived throughout Cars and Wall-E time. Yeah, there is proof of this in Wall-E when he sees a cockroach.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so now there's Monsters, Inc.
Go ahead. Oh, yes. So in Monsters, Inc., we see the monsters use human emotion and energy, human emotion and memories as energy. We see all the, best scares go back in time. What? Time? to capture the human emotion and memory to use for their energy to power their cities. Yes, time. So, the monsters, they go back in time through their magical doors, which seem a lot similar to the ones in Brave. Like the doors in Brave.
Oh, yeah.
Makes sense. In the witch's house. The witch's character.
Okay, just
so they go back in time. And to, the 50s and 60s. Which is coincidental, since that was when there was the most fear, when the supers were saving people from bad guys. Watch out, you're going to get mugged or die. Scary.
Yikes.
So that was the best time to harvest fear energy. But like we see in Incredibles 2, people are beginning to get more happy and peaceful.
And not scared, you
they're
know?
Not scared, scared of the machines anymore.
They're not scared anymore. Which is why in... towards the end of Monsters, Inc., we see them harvesting joy instead of fear. Also, an important character we see in Monsters, Inc. is Boo. Boo
Ooh, that's a. Aww. I love Boo.
Boo.
Kitty. So, Boo.
Mike was out.
You can watch videos about this, but Boo, she is a special child.
Mr. Gibbs.
Boo is the main. Boo, Mr. Gibbs. Boo is the most important person to the Pixar theory. What? How can that be? She's just like a 5-year-old child. I'll explain. So, Boo, she lives with like just her dad, we can assume. You can watch videos about it. I'm not going to go into it because I gotta wrap this up. But she lives with her family and she gets taken to the future.
Taken
to the future.
Taken.
This is an English project.
Use property.
She gets taken to the future where she meets Kitty, or Sully, and Mike Wazowski. There, yay. She sees like crazy stuff, you know, monsters and stuff. Then she gets taken back to time, and we can assume that her parents died and that she's left an orphan, where she wants to find the only father figure she ever had, which was Sully, or Kitty, which leads her to go crazy and want to, like, find him, where she finds magic and magical doors.
Which means she which goes into the grave.
Back to the Dark Ages of Scotland.
Whoa!
Where she is the witch and brave and...
She's just amazing.
Fate.
Not really, but...
She helps Merida control her fate. And that's it.
That about sums all of it up.
Yep.
Thank you all so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to all this madness.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay,
bye. Bye.